It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's refreshing!
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
And I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Challenging times? Yeah, of course they are. Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help you out. If you need mortgage assistance, even if you're not a current customer, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage will be with you every step of the way. Appreciate you being on board, John Kincaid, my producer and one of my favorite cohorts in the radio business, Mr. Anthony Pierno, up in Manhattan. We are socially distanced by 900 miles. I'm live at the studios of 680 The Fan in Atlanta. Glad you're listening on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate. And you might be listening on the radio.com app. You may be listening on Sirius XM 206. There are plenty of ways, CBSSportsRadio.com, plenty of ways for you to consume the show. If your local affiliate checks out of the show for an hour, I don't know, maybe there's a fishing show, a hunting show, a public affairs show, whatever it is, you can always track us if you wish through that. So, Anthony, I asked you during the break, have you, you have not seen or did you, you've never watched The Blacklist, right? You're not a fan of the show on NBC. You've never watched it, right?
I've seen like a couple episodes.
Okay. James Spader, one of the top guys on the most wanted list of the FBI, just quick summary. And if you haven't watched the show and you've got some time now to binge watch stuff, James Spader's brilliant in this show. And the cast is brilliant. It's a great show. I love it. And it's in season 7 now, but you can watch it. It's a pretty easy watch. And they just did their 150th episode last Friday night. And the character that he plays of Raymond Reddington, one of the most wanted men in the world, and he turns himself in to the FBI. And he cuts a deal and he says, look, I'm going to go free, but I'm going to be able to deliver you some of the worst criminals in the world. So you're going to let me go. You're not going to prosecute me. So that's the whole concept of the show. And then there's some things I think I've figured out, like one of the major secrets of the show, but I'm not going to spoil it for people if they haven't figured it out. But this week coming up is the season finale of season 7. There will be a season 8. They have 40 minutes of the show done when they had to stop taping because of the pandemic. So you know how they're finishing out the show, Anthony?
How's that?
Animators.
They actually
had animators that are taking like the last 20 minutes of the show are going to be animated.
Interesting.
With like a not cartoonish, but cartoon versions, drawings of the characters doing the dialogue from their homes. They did the dialogue of the show, the acting of the show from their homes, and they're putting it to animated figures for the last 20 minutes of the show.
How do you feel about that?
I'm excited. Well, look, I love the show, so I'm watching. I'm going to be a big fan anyway. But it's going to be interesting. Like 40 minutes of the show is going to be what they actually taped, and then the end of it is going to be animated. I think it's cool. I love it when people are creative, finding out different ways to do stuff. So It's going to be interesting to watch. I am crying a little bit this week, though, because Thursday night will be the last episode of How to Get Away with Murder, which has long been one of my favorite shows. And Shonda Rhimes, you are a genius, and the absolute queen, Viola Davis, as Annalise Keating. No characterization has gotten this visceral a reaction out of me like Annalise Keating does on How to Get Away with Murder. Viola Davis just brings a she's a great actress and she brings characters to life. But I hate Annalise. I hate her character. And you're supposed to, I think, like her and hate her, but I hate her. Just can't, her character drives me crazy. And I'm hoping she's in the preview, like they show you in the very first episode of the year, they show you the end of the year and then show you how they got there. And in the last episode, she's laying in her coffin and it's her funeral. So I don't know how it's, if somebody is going to knock her off or whatever, but if she gets knocked off, I certainly am not going to be one complaining.
That should be season two now streaming.
What's that? Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. I thought it was Friday. Oh, it's already out right now?
It's Sunday. It's Sunday.
I didn't know, though. It is. So it is out. Oh,
yes.
I can't wait to see it.
Now streaming season two.
Can't wait to see it. Anthony, you should have been a better athlete. I should have, too. We should have spent more time in the weight room, more time honing our natural athletic skills. Grace Rayner, writer for The Athletic, did a piece on what it's like to be a recruit at Clemson. They used $85,000 of their $2 million plus annual football budget during their marquee recruiting weekend, which was November 15th to the 17th, with 11 prospects and their families in attendance. Okay? How about this one? Steakhouse dinners, black car service from the airport to and from luxury hotels and around town, round-trip airline tickets for the prospects and two of their family members, a tour of the Clemson campus, lower-level tickets for the home game against Wake Forest, a tour of the indoor practice facility, which includes an indoor slide to a barbershop, a nap room. I need that. I need a nap room. I would love a nap room. I can think of other guys in sports radio that could really use a nap room, too. Some of them right during shows. A theater, outdoor amenities, and a bowling alley. And they got to visit head coach Dabo Swinney's house. They got to go to his house. Catered lunches. Swanky options. How about this? Just they spared no expense. Absolutely. Now, not every school can do this. The Power Five conferences, Steve Berkowitz puts it out there on Twitter. The Power Five conferences have now released their fiscal year 18 tax returns. Okay, this was last year. The Big Ten, $54 million to 12 outstanding schools. The SEC, $43.7 million. The Big 12, $34.7 million. The Pac-12 and the ACC, almost $30 million each. If you didn't know it already, folks, it's good to be an athlete. And yes, you hear it a lot about Dabo Swinney. You hear a lot about Dabo Swinney and, well, players love to play for him. He creates a great culture. And I don't doubt that at all because the man exudes confidence, positivity, and fun. But man, don't try to spin it as it's all about the just Dabo Swinney and his culture and everything like that. If you're telling me when you're going on a recruiting visit and you're seeing practice facilities that are like five-star hotels and your family's getting limoed around and taken to swanky steakhouses for dinner and things like that, if you're acting like that isn't the differentiator, it's a major differentiator. It's a major differentiator. And not many schools can do it. And not many programs can do it the way that Clemson's doing it. So, yes, give credit to Clemson for the outstanding job that they do on the football field. but don't bluff yourself. A lot about the success of Clemson is the success of being able to wine and dine teenagers and their families and show them it's a lot swankier over here than it would be if you went to another school. My toll-free line's open for you at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. I want you to visit geico.com/giveback for info and availability and eligibility, and I think you're going to really love it. Chance to give yourself an opportunity to enjoy what Geico has to offer. Got to love it. All right. I talked about this a little bit earlier. There's a lot of talk about Jarrett Stidham. And I've heard a lot of talk about Jarrett Stidham on national radio, national sports radio. And what I would tell you is that a lot of national sports radio comes out of the Northeast. And factually, as someone who came out of the Northeast in my media career before coming south, I can assure you one thing is true. The Northeast does not watch college football, does not consume it in the same way as other parts of the country. College football, far bigger in the Midwest, far bigger in the Southwest, far bigger, far, far, far bigger in the American South than it is in the Northeast. But major media outlets are located in the Northeast. So a lot of times what you get is college football coverage on some of these stories or talking about college athletes. It's like listening to me talk about the NCAA tournament. And that's why I always preface it by saying, look, if you're looking for great insights on these teams from the Pac-12 and the Big 12 and everything like that, I raise my hand and say, I'm not going to bluff you. I didn't watch them that intently. I try to coach myself up, but I'm just... I don't try to bluff my audience. Well, I see that a lot with college football. So when Gus Malzahn, the head coach of Auburn, comes out in a piece on Jarrett Stidham, I expect him to defend his player and to talk about what kind of a great young man he is and everything like that. And by the way, everything I've heard about Jarrett Stidham is exactly that. I've heard he's a great young man to be around. Heard that he's a hard worker. And these are things I heard before he got to the NFL. Hard worker. A good guy to have around your program. Not a diva. And so these are all great attributes about Jarrett Stidham. But one thing in the piece that I heard and I'm reading was that Gus Malzahn said no moment would be too big for Jarrett Stidham. When he's talked about, can he replace Tom Brady? No moment would be too big for Jarrett Stidham. And I've heard a lot of national media members just, you know, recant. They just repeat this and say it like, yeah, well, look, Gus Malzahn's telling you there's no moment that's going to be too big for this guy. And that's when I can tell they haven't watched Jarrett Stidham play. Or haven't taken 10 minutes to do a little bit of research. If you're talking about all the positive attributes, and I led with that, every single person that I've ever heard speak of Jarrett Stidham or I've spoken to about Jarrett Stidham has had something good to say about the young man. And that's awesome. And when I hear hard worker and I hear a good guy to have around, that tells me he's going to be humble. He's going to try to be a leader and he's going to do some good things. And those kind of things I think would impress any organization. But when I hear no moment's going to be too big for him, Anthony, tell me if I'm being out of line here. If you hear a coach say no moment's going to be too big for a guy, wouldn't you tend to believe that that means in the biggest games he plays his best?
Exactly, yeah.
That's not unfair for me to say that, right? That's what I would assume. In his biggest games, you can expect Jarrett Stidham to play his best. No moment's going to be too big for him. Well, I'm here to tell you that the facts don't spell any of that out. In fact, in Jarrett Stidham's biggest moments is when he came up the smallest. When Jarrett Stidham started at Baylor, he started in three what would be called big games. I'm not talking about playing directional universities and, East Bumble State. The three best teams he faced at Baylor. He lost at Oklahoma. He lost at TCU. He lost at home versus Texas. And his team averaged 20 points scored, which, by the way, was far below their average scoring that year. So it was below what they usually do against other teams. Look, you're playing better competition. The numbers appear. You're going to expect the numbers are going to be down a bit. Numbers are down drastically. So then Jarrett Stidham went to Auburn, where the way I look at it, as far as big games, he went 2-9 or 3-9. I'll be kind and say he went 3-9. His teams went 3-9. But here's what you know about their performances offensively. In 2017, as a starting quarterback, lost at Clemson, lost at LSU, lost versus Georgia for the SEC championship game, lost versus the University of Central Florida. His offense averaged 16 points a game in those four losses. 16 points a game. Almost half of what they averaged in their other games. So what I would say is, in the biggest moments, your offense is putting up 16 points. Those moments were pretty big. So the next year, he comes back. Loses versus LSU. Loses at Mississippi State. Loses versus Tennessee at home, a wretched Tennessee team. Loses at Georgia. Loses at Alabama. Five losses. His offense averages 17 points a game. Again, around half of what they averaged in other games. Gus Malzahn can tell you all the good things about Jarrett Stidham, and he should. That's his guy. And from everything, as I've told you, from everything I've heard, that is the kind of young man he is. But saying that no moment will be too big for him, that is completely contrary to the resume that he's put up. We'll talk more about it. We'll open up the phone lines at the bottom of the hour for you to be able to get in with us. But coming up next, Cody Benjamin joins me from CBS Sports, covering the NFL. I have some thoughts on the NFL schedule, and I have some thoughts about what people think about the NFL schedule. My opinions on it. We'll ask Cody his next JK Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
And in my opinion, nation, the sun is gonna surely shine. Did you like this show, Anthony?
Yeah, I used to watch it.
Pep on a smile. Come out and walk in the sun for a while. Don't fight the feeling. You know you want to have a good time. Mayim Bialik, who went on to be, by the way, get a degree as a real rocket scientist, and then she played a rocket scientist. She became on The Big Bang Theory. Dr. Amy Farrah Fowler. We are watching season 12, by the way, of Big Bang. Remember, we were way behind it, Anthony, so we have we purchased it, and we are around halfway. We're around eight episodes in, I think, to season 12. I'm very sad to be seeing that one go. Very sad to see that one go. But in a sitcom, I don't worry if you spoil the ending for me, because I hope they're all happy endings. Cody Benjamin likes happy endings, too. He's a positive guy, covers the NFL for CBS Sports. And you want to check out his work at Cody J. Benjamin. What does the J stand for, Cody? Let me guess. James.
Yeah, you're spot on.
I was, right? James.
Yeah, you're spot on. Yeah.
Who was James? Is it an honor of somebody?
Two grandparents that were both named James. So that's probably, you know, that's where it comes from. And now I have a son who also has a middle name, James, as well.
See that? I have to say that, on Mother's Day, I hate to do this to her, but my mom and dad, too lazy to give me a middle name.
No way. Well, that's kind of, you know what? That's kind of unique.
No, it's terrible. What are you like? Why are you taking up for her today? I love her. I mean, she's almost 91 and she's still going strong. But they were too lazy to give me a middle name. My sister had a middle name. Older sister, middle name. Older brother, middle name. Me, no middle name.
You know,
they didn't
what?
Give me one.
We ought to what we ought to do is decide on the middle name before we end the show.
I've always used my confirmation name, which is Brian. I've used that as my middle name, but never had a middle name. I always felt like I missed out, and they picked John. honestly. Now, she named me after John the Baptist, so pretty strong, you know, cultural figure. But still, though, I'm like, John? I get John, and I don't even get something to spice it up? It's terrible.
Yeah, maybe we take a few episodes or a few times on here, and we can hash it, you know,
hash it out,
and
then I could get and I could change my name. I could do it officially. Cody, I am one of those NFL geeks. I am one of the NFL fans that Roger Goodell and the owners count on. No matter what injustice they throw my way, no matter what slight they throw my way, they know, well, we got Kincaid. He's always going to be there for us. So I have so enjoyed this offseason while we've been in the midst of the pandemic, because I love that it's been some sense of normalcy. How excited do you get for schedule night? Because I'm a dork for it. And I have no reason that I would be so excited just about seeing dates and games on paper.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of if you want to compare it to like free agency and the draft, I mean, I still think it's easy for me. I go with those other two just because of the player activity. You know, you get to mock up different lineups for the teams and how different positions are going to look, you know, this season. But yeah, I mean, in the grand scheme, the entire offseason, I still, you know, I'm firmly in the camp, I guess, you know, if you were to split it into two sides this offseason, you know, where one side is saying, why is the NFL doing this at this time? And the other side is saying, you know, why aren't they? You know, what's the harm? And I'm in that latter category. I mean, I think, look, it's we're talking right now. We're in May. The games don't start till September. Obviously, this offseason is unlike any other. I mean, except for maybe the lockout year, we still have no idea how things are going to play out. But you know, I mean, well, there's really I don't see a big. You know, they're not actually like saying we're going to line these stadiums with 60,000-70,000 people yet. They're just saying these are the games that are going to happen if we start in September. And I think in a normal offseason, yeah, it is fun to, you know, we knew the opponents of all these teams already, but to finally see, hey, they're playing on Monday Night Football this night. I mean, that is fun, and it starts to give you something to look forward to.
Okay, tell me, this is a totally hypothetical situation. Let's say the teams don't convene for training camp. You know, they convene for training camp, but they absolutely have no time practicing on the field any other off-season activities. So training camp would be actually where they get to have their first time on the field together. Can you tell me teams that you think would potentially suffer in that situation, as specific franchises, maybe new coaches or otherwise, and teams that would maybe benefit by having less time on the field that might be able to take advantage of some of those other clubs?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and other people have repeated this already, so I'm kind of just borrowing from them, but just the idea that, you know, if you have a staff that doesn't have a whole lot of turnover, I mean, theoretically, you know, you're not welcoming a whole new head coach, and he's installing his whole system with all his assistants. I mean, theoretically, you'd have an upper hand. And so my mind obviously first goes to, you know, we've talked about the Eagles before in the NFC East. I mean, you've got, with Washington, they've got Ron Rivera installing his regime. In New York, you've got Joe Judge. In Dallas, you've got Mike McCarthy. And you know, we can look at some of those rosters and say, hey, the Cowboys are talented enough to, you know, Mike McCarthy can still, you know, have them competing. But still, you've got the Eagles are the only team in that division where they've got the, you know, all the same parts mostly. Obviously, they've shaken up a little bit of the team, but you've got Doug Peterson, you've got the coordinators, you've got the pretty much the entire regime returning. And so, theoretically, that's the case, but I don't think it's as night and day as saying that these, you know, all these teams with rookie head coaches have no shot. I mean, one example I'd use, and this is a little different, I think somebody recently, this was at The Athletic, they were looking at, you know, is it true that, like, let's look back at the lockout year, and people kind of assumed that year because there was such a shortened offseason that rookie wide receivers, just a very specific example, they would suffer. And that year they had actually a lot of guys produce. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that was the Julio Jones year, the A.J. Green year, and they had, those are special talents, but there were other guys that were, he had no problem coming in on a short offseason and producing. So at the end of the day, I think if you're a good football coach, if you're a good football team, the results are going to show.
45% in the last 10 years of teams that would be the seventh seed were 8-8. So, I mean, it's like right now, when we're looking at this upcoming season, You know, over the last 10 years, AFC and NFC, there have been 20 teams that would have been the seventh seed. I looked at the numbers. I'm like, 45% of the time, they would have been 8-8. So this year, you don't even have to be that great to be a playoff team when you get that one extra seed in there.
Yeah. I mean, you could almost look at it like a built-in excuse. The excuse has already been filled there by the NFL. You know, I'm sure they didn't plan when they were talking about adding a playoff spot that we're going to have a pandemic, you know, shorten our offseason. But, you know, now that it's happened, you can't really say, like, you know, if a coach is using that as an excuse, like, hey, we didn't get our, you know, we didn't have the full program. Well, neither did all the other teams, and there was another playoff spot. So, you know, there's ample opportunity here for teams to show up.
Cody Benjamin from CBS Sports covering the NFL with us. And I want to know a little bit about a window into your soul here. How has it been different trying to do your job without the same level of access, without the same chance to maybe personally interact? How have you been doing your job?
Honestly, I mean, straight up with you, a lot hasn't changed so far. And that's mainly because, you know, first of all, I mean, I work remotely. And so that doesn't mean that I'm not going to certain events in the off season. You know, a lot of the stuff that happens in the off season up to this point was like player charity events and things like that. I mean, we're not going into, you know, free agency and the draft. People have said this as well. A lot of them are glorified conference calls. I mean, they're TV programs. And so the stuff that's happened so far, you know, I've been fortunate enough to not have my job super affected by this. Now, when it comes to training camp, and that's the stuff that's really fun to be there in person, and you get to, you know, hear the crack of the pads. I mean, it sounds cliche, but you get to see these guys playing, you get to see them come off the field, maybe talk to guys. That's when you're really getting the personal connection, and then obviously once the games roll around, seeing these teams live in action. And I think it's just hard to imagine the possibility right now, and obviously neither of us really know what's going to happen, but hard to imagine, like, you know, imagine the Lincoln Financial Field just, you know, crickets as Carson Wentz takes the snap. I mean, it just sounds, it'd almost be like on TV. I would imagine it feeling like they're watching a scrimmage. I mean, just hearing these guys like echo throughout the stadium.
Well, I need fans in the stands by November 1st because my annual dad-daughter weekend, my daughter and I go up from Atlanta and we come for one Eagles game. And this year, her dad-daughter weekend would be her first Eagles-Cowboys game. And she is all right. So we need fans in the stands selfishly. So I'm going to ask you one question on the way out, and you don't get a chance to really think about it, and you got to give it to me. Last year, before the season, nobody would have told us, most likely, that Tennessee, San Francisco, and Green Bay could have been three of our final four teams. I don't know anybody who was predicting those kind of teams. Maybe one of them, but certainly not all three. Who's the, right now, if I was just to ask you at the top of your head, the craziest team that could end up being in the Final Four, craziest team that could end up in the Super Bowl that maybe nobody's talking about in early May?
Okay, well, you're saying crazy, and so I feel like I have
like a pick that you believe in, a pick that you believe in potentially could happen that we need to think about.
Sure. Well, the first thing that came to mind before you said Super Bowl and top four was the Dolphins, and I don't know that I believe they're going to be in the top four, but I think they might be a lot closer than people think, and not really good. Because, you know, ideally you'd have Tua fit this year, make sure he's fully healthy, and they're already building that defense up. They've spent money. But, I mean, Miami I think will be more competitive, obviously, that division. You're not dealing with Tom Brady anymore.
Right.
The Patriots, you know, they should still be competitive, but I think that division is open. But then when you said, I mean, a team really believe in, I mean, I think the Chargers, I'm not a huge believer in Tyrod Taylor, but I think that if, for whatever reason, they can coach Justin Herbert up in this weird offseason, or he can sit for a little while, I mean, all the people that I spoke to in the lead-up to the draft, he's got a really good head on his shoulders. And I know that people have questioned, is he enough of a leader? Is he consistent enough? But I think that roster around him is one of the best of any of these rookie quarterbacks in terms of supporting cast. I mean, Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, Hunter Henry. I think the Chargers could be a sneaky team to watch.
Cody Benjamin, thank you. You're very sneaky with your knowledge, too, and we appreciate you making time for us this morning. Thank you, buddy.
All right, thanks a lot.
Good to have Cody Benjamin join us here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
Flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will. The Dukes of Hazzard, a very strong play down here in Georgia, where I'm at. Very strong play. Appreciate you being a part of the show today. Hopefully you're having some fun with us on Sundays. We are steering clear of doom and gloom. We're trying to keep you entertained, trying to have a good, positive outlook on things. And I think that I appreciate hearing from most of you that feel that way. I get a few every single week that are like, "Can't believe you're so positive." And I'm like, okay, first of all, I usually never get that email. "Can't believe you're being positive during a pandemic." Yeah, I'm terrible with that. Yeah, it's a character flaw of mine. Being positive, it's terrible. Well, I want to thank John Haney, who sent me a message on Twitter and says, the name of the reporter that I love so much, the guy who from Dateline, who is, unknown fact, Chandler Bing from Friends, Matthew Perry's stepfather, is Keith Morrison. And Keith Morrison, to me, he is the most brilliant writer of any one of those crime shows that you watch, those crime documentaries. He is the most brilliant writer of all. His writing is master's level writing. It'd be like, it's Mother's Day. Mother's Day dawned in Islip. Just another gorgeous day with a sunrise. Coffee brewing. The smell of bacon crisply cooking in the kitchen. Everything was going fine. Until the body showed up. He writes these things and it just keeps you on the edge of your seat. And he's so descriptive. You can smell the bacon. You can smell the bacon. But Aaron Moriarty from 48 Hours... Aaron Moriarty, if she ever shows up at my front door, I will immediately pee myself. Not only because I'm a huge fan, but because of the fact that I know I'm in big trouble. Because if Aaron Moriarty shows up to do the story for 48 hours, you're screwed. If she shows up, she's going to find the answers. So you're screwed. You did something wrong. Just admit it. Ask Aaron to call 911 to put the cuffs on you. She is a powerhouse. She's another one. I love those crime shows. It's been fun. Been watching a lot more of them during this pandemic. But just a lot of you want to get in. We'll get in at 855-212-4CBS. A few thoughts. I'm surprised at the amount of people that are so anti the idea that college students should have a right to decide they want to go to the NFL anytime that they want after 1 year of college. That saying to the NFL, ease those rules, college ease those rules, that they should have the opportunity to go to the NFL anytime that they want to earn a living. I'm shocked at the amount of people that are very anti that. And guarantee it, you can say any explanation you want to give me, any explanation you want. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying that you are truly caring about the kids. I'm worried about the kids. I want to make sure the kids are handled well. Sabah, North Carolina joins us. Sabah, happy Mother's Day to you.
Hey there, John. Thank you, sir. The best Mother's Day gift that I got was my daughter was officially announced to the East West All-Star.
That is absolutely awesome.
North Carolina, let's hope it gets played. It's July 20th.
July 20th, they should play that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we went to Marshall's yesterday. Oh, it was so great. I mean, many people there.
Wait a minute. You went to Marshall's?
Yep. First day.
And you were that excited? Okay, I'm going. Oh. Then I'm going to go visit Marshall's, too.
Oh,
I'll go visit them. I got one right around the corner.
And you know what I liked about it? I think capacity was 120. The lady said she can. I think there was 120 in there. Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
As long as everybody was being respectful of space and stuff like that, right? Okay, good.
I mean,
that's awesome, then.
Respectful of space. Anytime. And when you go clothes shopping, who's next to you? Notice this. When you're at a rack and you're looking at something, nobody goes right next to you. They wait till you get gone, and then they go there.
Yeah,
can do, right.
I'm very attractive, so sometimes there'll be a desperate housewife, or there'll be, you know, some other guy will just want to get in my space. But I'm I deal with it. So what do you got going on?
So what I got is about the schedule. You were talking about the schedule. And
yes.
I noticed my my Redskins are basically the homecoming team now for the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
And you get to open and close with the Eagles.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And we're never on TV. This is the first time since 1982 we have not won nationally televised game. I guess Thanksgiving is not counted as a prime time, game. And I think the Redskins actually requested it because we've just sucked the high heaven.
Yeah, but here it is, though. What if I told you, Sabah, what if I told you this?
Yeah.
You're going to get Ron Rivera in there. He's going to coach that defense up, and your defense is going to improve by like 25 or 30%. You're still going to win. You're going to still win some games. Mm-hmm. And then what if I told you next year Trevor Lawrence could be your quarterback? Or Justin Fields.
If Dan Snyder wasn't in the way, because I think, again, friend of Dan, you know, Dwayne Haskins. Get this. Ron Rivera called Dan Snyder, Mr. Snyder. Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer was interviewed by the Redskins the other day, and he called him Mr. Snyder. What does Dwayne Haskins call Dan Snyder?
What does he call him?
Dan.
Does he call him Dan? Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah,
that's
not good.
You all you need to know.
There you go. Thanks. Have a great Mother's Day. Thank you for listening. Carl in Chicago joins us. Carl, welcome to the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, my friend. How are you?
I'm glad to have you on. What's going on today?
So you were talking earlier with your guest about what teams do you think realistically can make the Super Bowl next year? But like,
yeah, you know, if you're especially ones, and I'm not talking about the teams that we expect. Like, I know in the NFC, there's a strong variety of teams that could make it to the Super Bowl. The AFC,
right.
I'm a little more. I'm having a hard time creating a list.
Right, and I think because of the AFC, you just have the Chiefs there, and that puts a big roadblock in your plans. But I think a legitimate argument can make for a lot of teams. The three I got for you are my Bears first and foremost because. There's no team that dominates the division, and the Bears are the type that they could just sneak in. And with that defense, you know, the defense has a good shot. If they could just put up a stand for the whole playoff run, a defense could take over a playoff.
Who are you telling me is the quarterback?
I think in the playoff game, it's going to end up being Nick Foles.
Well, then guess what? My dog is named after Nick Foles, so you know that I'm going to sort of buy into what you're selling.
There you go.
Our dog is Nicky. Named after Nicky Foles. We love Nicky Foles in our house.
Get him the Bears bandana and ready to roll. The second team I got are the Giants.
What are you talking about?
This is another division where there's no team that's going to just dominate with 13 wins.
What? The Eagles and the Cowboys are going to smush them like bugs.
But you're talking about shocking teams. If Daniel Jones makes the jump, Saquon makes the jump, and Darius Slayton makes a big leap.
Oh, my gosh.
It could happen.
Here's what I'm worried about. Here's what I'm very worried about. What time did you start drinking this morning? It's only 8:50 Eastern time. What's your third one? You just gave me the Bears and the Giants, which means I think your employer is going to ask you to pee in a cup tomorrow morning. What's the third one? I've got to hear this one.
I lost my job, by the way.
I'm sorry.
Is Arizona. Kyler Murray clicking in his second year, building some confidence, and if Hopkins shows up and does his
thing. Arizona is a team that I'm very intrigued by. Let's put it that way. But here's the problem with Arizona, I think, this year. I don't expect them to be able to jump. They're not going to be able to jump San Francisco. I don't think they're able to jump Seattle this year. I think that's a nasty division. And the Rams are going to be better than they were last year. So let me ask you something. What did you do for a job? What job did you lose?
I was bartending.
Okay. So you're going to when they open up the bar again, are you going to go back to where you worked before, or are you going to try to say I'm going to go to another bar?
It depends how first of all, they have to contact me. So once I get in touch with them, I'll find out a better deal of how much they need me, and it's a small town bar.
Okay.
We'll see. I'll be waiting for him to get in touch with me. That's how.
Guess what? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to consider yourself a free agent, though. I want you
I'm always looking.
Well, good.
These are all second jobs for me.
All right. Good job, man. Take care of yourself. Appreciate it, buddy. The Giants. For gosh sakes, the Giants being on Monday Night Football Week 1. You know who was excited about that? North Jersey and New Yorkers. Memo, nobody gives a flip about the Giants. I mean, honestly. Like, nobody's going, man, the NFL schedule's coming out. I hope Monday Night Football puts the Giants on. Can't wait to get our eyeballs on the Giants. Like, 45 other states are going, what the blank? If you wanted the Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday Night Football for the first part of the year, I like the Steelers. I think the Steelers are intriguing. The Steelers are consistently a team in the mix. If you told me you wanted to get them on Monday Night Football, huge fan following, huge brand, yeah. The Giants? Honestly, they should have welcome across the front of their jerseys because people are going to be wiping their shoes on them. It's not, they're not ready yet. And by the way, love Saquon Barkley. They're going to break his wheels off him, though. Love Daniel Jones. I told you I liked the Daniel Jones pick from the minute it was made. I'm going to consider that my closing arguments today. I'm going to consider that my closing arguments because I ran a little late here. I love being intrigued by callers, and you've got that have been able to get in today. I hope you have a fantastic week. Hope you had a fantastic mother to celebrate today. My mom, almost 91, in Drexel Hill, Pennsylvania. I love you, Betty. I know she's not listening on the app or on the radio or otherwise, but I'll talk to her later. And I hope that your mom is celebrated today and your wife is celebrated today. Everybody, have a great week. We're going to come back next Sunday. We're going to do this again, all right? Make an appointment to hang out with the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, absolutely refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.